Welcome back from the desk of low. Now, this ain't no old interview now, because all my old interviews used to be straight over the phone. But, you know, we both tired, you know, we both living life right now. But once you hear the gentleman's voice, so you guys are going to be shocked. I've been wanting to interview this gentleman since actually the start of my podcast career. I was looking back on our old DMs, 2018. Now, one thing about me is I was taught by the greats. Shout out to Combat. Shout out to DJ EFN, shout out to Nori, shout out to Elliot. These guys showed me that, you know what, just because other gentlemen go out and do all the podcasts, you shouldn't be like, ah, oh, fuck this artist. Hey, no one's entitled to talk to you. I understood that now. But in honesty, it gives more information to make a stronger interview. So every interview that this artist does, it gets better and better over time. Man, he goes by a lot of names right now, man. I have a Omar Lorendez, you know, Doredovich, you know, my personal favorite, Yakov Lorenbaum. But man, this gentleman right here is very special to the game right now. And I'm very glad that one of our forefathers in the pod game shed his light, because I remember this is how I found this gentleman. I didn't listen to his music first. I listened to his interview first. And that's when I went back and listened to Silk Pyramids and Self-Induced Illness and Absolute Greatness from JLM 2007. But man, without further introductions, man, I have the one and only Mayhem Loren.
What's going on, man? Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure to be talking to you, man. We patient over here, man. But you know what, man? We understood that, you know, everything's time and everything takes time.
Yeah, 100%. But we're here now, you know? Oh, yeah. I'm curious. I just heard your intro. What was the interview that you heard that you heard before the music?
The one of Combat Jack when
no doubt, man.
Yes.
Rest in peace, man. That's a legend right there, man.
Yes, sir. You know, I wish he was still here to see the influence that he had on the game.
Nah, I think he knows though. I think he knew. You know what I mean? Like you could see it early, but nah, that's what's up, man.
And it's because you know, when I was first finding podcasts at the time now, too, like, this is how, like, I started to hear the other side of an artist. And it's like, you know, let me, that's how I found a lot of new artists was through Combat. So it's like, yo, let me check him out. So I was curious, like, before even I got into media, I had the questions for you as a fan. You got to see, like, the mixtape era firsthand. How was that in NYC coming up in that time? Because this was, like, at the time of the internet was booming.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the mixtape era was everything, because that's kind of where you got the heat. You know, at that time, like, there weren't, like, a lot of albums coming out on the majors that I like. Like, I could literally tell you from maybe from, like, 1999 to now, like, 20 or 30 albums that I liked on majors, like hip-hop albums. You know, that's the span of a long time, but a lot of heat was coming out pre-internet or early internet. It was just mixtapes. That was the source to, like, find out who was on the come up, or, you know, a lot of times, like, samples couldn't get cleared and, like, the better versions of songs would end up on the street. Like, it was bugged out, but that was definitely a great era, you know?
Especially, like, during the time now, too, like, where music was transitioning from, like, physical to more, like, digital. Like, how did you first, like, get, like, a hold of this internet? It's like, this music's going digital now. Like, what was that reaction like?
When I came in, you know, I caught the very end of the mixtape era. So I kind of just was learning everything, you know, from everything in the industry anyway. So I kind of just flow with it. You know what I mean? I'm someone who adapts easily. So it really wasn't that much of a hurdle for me. You know, it was harder as a fan trying to, like, search for my music digitally when I was just someone who grew up with just tapes, CDs, cassettes, records. So that was that. But like I said, man, I got a good friend, man, my man Thurston Howell III. He always says, evolve or dissolve. That's one of my favorite sayings. So you kind of got to just get with it or get left behind, you know?
Yes, sir. And shout out to Thurston Howell, very early guest too. Yeah, I see you, Thurston.
Yes,
yeah,
that's my bro.
So was this the time, because I've been following you for a long time, because I know a lot of people ask you about, like, you know, how would the name Melo and Loren happen, but were you still going by Melo at the time?
Yeah, basically, it's just, you know, it's just the grown-up version. The name, grew. The first and the last name just grew, you know, and it keeps growing, so That's just what it is.
But like for somebody like of your stature now too, I noticed that you're a very private person, but you also like you do music and television now too. And like how are like is that hard to manage at the time now too? Because like in some of your interviews, like I noticed like you're very like private person, like you want to share like private moments for yourself now. But like how do you balance the two when you do music and television?
I mean, you really have no option. It's just what it's what I signed up for. So I'm not gonna, you know, get in certain positions and then complain about them. I just have to keep going. Like I said, it's all blessings, all beautiful things, and that's that, you know?
So like even with like the television now, like side of it, you now too, like how did you ever think that you were gonna do it when you first doing like Circle Pyramids back then?
Nah, TV was never part of the plan. Cooking was never part of the plan. Food, like, that was kind of just like, you know, right place, right time. And, you know, shout out my brother Action. He, when he was signed to Vice, they had just started the channel. And he just told me, yo, I got an opportunity for you to be on the show. It was almost like I was going to be an extra, like not even initially a cast member. And it kind of just took off. And then from that, I met the people at, you know, the food division at Munchies, and I mentioned that I cook, and then I got to showcase some of my cooking on their channel. Now I have my own YouTube channel where I have two different cooking shows, and this whole food, television, internet, none of this was part of the plan. Like all I wanted to do was rap, but like I said, you just gotta roll with the punches and embrace them when you get an opportunity, you know?
Yeah, and like even when you like say like some of your rhymes now too, like I know the term crispy means fly, but when you're like forever crispy, forever holding the pisty, it's like, but you like that and like cook up some crispy food. But like even what I noticed about you now too, you eat like a lot of exotic food with fridge dive, and like we won't have in our regular fridges. So I was like curious, like what's like an extravagant dish for you on a regular day?
I don't even know what an extravagant dish is. Like, I know what you're saying, but to me, it's just, yo, there's good food and bad food. It's the same thing with music, man. It's good music and bad music. Like, I don't even think of it as extravagant. Sometimes you just have the taste for something different, and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's true. You may have the taste for something. Yeah, that's actually true, because some people are like, yo, I feel like liver and onions. It's like, yo, you crazy for that, man. I don't know about liver and onions. But, yo, some people actually like that. Coming up. Yeah. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing. I actually, personally, I'm not a fan of liver and onions, but I understand what you're saying. Like, yeah.
Thank God. I know you've probably been asked this a lot of times now, too, but, like, the last time where I can actually find research on this was, like, 6 years ago. So what's the craziest thing you ate since?
Man, I don't know. I try not to eat anything too crazy. Like, at the end of the day, I try to eat things that I genuinely like or that come highly recommended. You know, it's like this is about eating things we enjoy. This is not Fear Factor. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not trapped in the woods trying to eat something peculiar. I'm trying to eat something that's going to stimulate my taste buds. But I will say on the show, I had a lamb eyeball. Like we were in Morocco, I ate a lamb eyeball. That was maybe one of the strangest things I ate, but you know, I don't make it a habit of eating strange things on purpose.
Okay, all right. I can only imagine the texture of that. So, like, I was noticed that you said something about carbs in one of your interviews, Ted. That's like, you're always going to have carbs. You know, if you want lasagna for breakfast, do it. So, you still eating carbs?
Yeah, you know, yeah, definitely. You know, like I said, you just got to be responsible, you know?
Yeah, I guess you can't overdo it now, too, because you can't overdo it with bread and stir.
The time you eat things and you know, you got to hold yourself accountable. Like, yo, all right, you know, I want this rigatoni, but you better want to jog later, you know what I'm saying? Or do some push-ups, do some pull-ups, man, get a 3-4 mile walk in. Just everything is balanced, man. The older I get, everything in life is balanced, man. You'll be all right. You got to just check some balances, you know?
So even like checking of balances now too, like I'm curious now too, like do you get more asked about the music, food or music, food or television when people come up to you?
Nah, I mean it's all one, you know what I mean? It's just different aspects of me. Like, you know, Certain people might discover me from television and then stumble upon the music. Some people have been following my musical career for some time and then get into the full thing. And that's, they all help each other, to be honest. It's just like a coexisting, like, ecosystem.
It's kind of like a salad, if you think about it.
Yeah, or a salad.
So even with, like, music now, too, like, I noticed, like, you having a very immaculate taste for song titles now, too. Even, like, your song album titles are crazy now, too. But, like, what I notice about your music now, too, it's not throwaway music. It's something that you could sit and listen to over time, and it's not like you listen to it a week, and it's like, I'm not going back to that. Like, we listen to Silk Pyramids, and, like, even, like, with your album Black Vladimir now, too, like, I noticed, like, this is like, people's like, oh, he's jumping on a certain sound. No, you guys ain't listening. Because if you go back and listen to actually Mayhem's discography, he's been doing this before Griselda. He was just cool with Griselda. He's on Fly God. So, like, what does that tell everybody? So what I was curious about you is, like, when you're approaching a project now too, how is it, like, because I remember your first project was 41 songs. But, like, how do you approach a project now?
I just try to, you know, make the best music possible and create something that'll last. Like you said, I try to make things timeless. It's not like a one and done. It's not like a 1 week listen. I try to make something that could stand the test of time and rock forever. And that's even part of the reason I named myself Mayhem Loren. Like, you know, people might not get this, but it's like Ralph Lauren is a clothing brand that's literally around forever. Like, you could rock polo in the 80s and you be in style. You could rock it now and be style. It may not be number one or the most sought after, but will always be there. It'll always be timeless, and it doesn't really get outdated. And I kind of try to use that motto and apply it towards my music. Like, you could literally have a 30-year-old Ralph Lauren shirt and look amazing right now. But a lot of shit that comes out now, a lot of these things are fad. They flash in the pan. They quick. They go. If you rock some of the things that are fashionable right now, in 5 years, people might look at you like you crazy. So I just try to use that same model when applied to my music. Again, I know it's like strange or might be a little off for someone to hear that, but yeah, I try to make timeless. I try to do forever shit. You know, I'm not with the in and out.
Yeah, no, that's understandable now, too. That means just because you take your craft serious. Like, you're not just here for the quick buck. You're here to make a legacy.
Correct.
Like, even, like, with Black Vladimir now, too. Like, did you have to second guess that title when you were, like, coming out with this?
Nah, you know what? Because I'm going to keep it real. This album has been something that's been, we've been working on for years. And we had the title for years, like, the title has nothing to do with Vladimir Putin or any political thing at all. It's not it's just going, but it's coincidental. But people have hit me up. People have messaged me or tweeted, yo, why would you want to glorify a war criminal and this? I'm like, dog, it has nothing to do with him. Like, he's not the only person named Vladimir. Like, truth be told, Vladimir was like an alias for me. Like I would call myself Vladimir in certain circles. So it's like, that's really all it was, but I didn't second guess it. I mean, I was sticking to it. I wasn't just gonna change the title because I wasn't gonna let one Vladimir ruin it for all the good Vladimirs, you know?
I like that. Like, even like with the cover now too, I noticed like it has like this, like, you're going fast motion now too. When I first seen the cover though, I thought you were smoking. I was like, yeah, I thought he didn't smoke. And I looked at it now, you ain't smoking. So I was like, that's good because you're liking a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You probably been in contact with some of the people you've been around, but man, firsthand, yeah. Just stay away. I tell people, if you ain't tried, you ain't missing nothing, no. So with Black Vladimir, you said this was in the making for years now, too. What's years for Mayhem Loren?
Nah, years. This album actually took years. We didn't work on it consistently for years, but it was like, probably 4 or 5 years in the making. Like, we did the first 3 songs a while ago, and then you know, Griselda was doing their thing, blowing up. They were moving around, so Derringer was on tour. We were filming TV, so I wasn't around, and we just miss each other a lot. So scheduling didn't really permit for us to just lock in and finish it. So we would literally do 3 songs here, a year would pass, do another four songs, 6 months would pass, do another song. So we just took our time with it, man. And I think that's really why the quality is the way that it is. We didn't give a deadline. We didn't rush it. It was just something that we decided to do, and we just stuck through and did it. You know what I mean? Just did it casually, you know? Casually made something amazing.
Sure. Shout out to Darren Genie right now too. Cause like, yo, like what I notice about like Derringer now, he doesn't really collab with, like, I'm pretty sure he probably has other artists hitting him up for beats and stuff. But like one thing I know, he's very particular on.
He's very particular. You know, that's one of the dope things about the album. Cause we're both very particular. You know what I mean? Like we don't just work with everybody. So the fact that we both wanted to work with each other just said something. And like I said, it was Gunn's idea. One day we were all kicking it, and Westside Gunn actually came up with the idea. He said, yo, you sound good on Darren's beats. Like, y'all should do something. And we kind of just thought about it, and we're like, yeah, we should. And then that was that. There were a couple times where, you know, we weren't even sure if it was going to come out because we were both just so busy. But I'm just glad we just, you know, saw the light at the end of the tunnel and knock this one out. Vladimir season.
Oh, yes, sir. Good Valedictorian. Yeah, that's my joint right there.
No, I appreciate it.
And if y'all ain't heard this album, yo, I guarantee you, I know Rock Drop, I know Ty Farishaw, but you gotta listen to this Black Vladimir. Like, I remember the very first time when you hear, it's called Black Pino on it, I was like, yo, like, this is, I never heard a Derringer beat like that before.
Yeah. Nah, Derringer, man, he's got a lot of bangers, man. Like he's special, you know. It was an honor working on the project, and we definitely cooked some heat, man.
You're like collecting the Infinity Stones of producers now too, because I hear like you got Derringer of album, you got a album with Buckwild, you got an album with Muggs.
That's my bro. Shout out to Muggs. That's my bro.
Yeah, shout out to Muggs too. Yeah, you got a lot of work with Muggs now too. And like one thing I noticed about now too. Oh,
me and Muggs gonna rock forever. Me and Muggs got maybe 30, 40 songs in the stash. Like that just became a situation where it's like Muggs is family, and you know, I go to LA a lot. So anytime I touch down, you know, we knock out 2 to 3 songs. And if I go there a couple times a year, they just add up. You know what I mean? So we just got a lot of fire. We got an album coming out soon. Couple surprises, couple things going on, but that's just like that's just gonna go on forever. That's what it is, you know.
One thing I like about you now too is like it sounds like you can inspire another artist now too, because like one thing I would like to see is like Be Real come into this underground renaissance when like he appeared on Gems from the Equinox. I'm like, he's got Be Real on these type of beats now too, but I noticed like they won't do it for all types of artists. So, like, that's what shows the type of human you are, though.
Yeah. Nah, B is dope. B is a legend. You know, he's also a busy guy. You know, he can't just jump on everything all the time. Like, you know, he's running a bunch of businesses. Cypress still tours more than people half their age. You know what I'm saying? Like, B is busy. So, whenever he has time to, you know, jump on anything for me, like, shit, I appreciate that. You already know.
So, like, I know, like, this is, like, touchy subject, no, but, yeah, this gentleman right here, man, like, I got a lot of chances to interview people in media that I never would have thought, like, Ralph McDaniels, Premium P, DGFN, but one person I really wish I could have sat down and, like, have a full-on conversation was Reggie Ose,
Combat. Yeah, man, Combat was a legend, man. He was beyond great at what he did. He was just a great human, man. Like me and him were friends. It's bugged out. Like it was almost weird, like dropping the last two projects. Cause I swear to you, like if I was to pull up my old emails, I would always send him my work early and get his feedback before like the rest of the world got it. He was one of the first people that I would send things to. People didn't even know how tight we were, cause we weren't like internet friends, like talking to each other online all the time. But you know, we'd link up or I hit him on the phone. There was even times we were supposed to catch up. We were both in London together. Like that was my man. He was just a real solid dude. And, you know, you just can't call what's going to happen. And, you know, sometimes life throws curveballs. Sometimes life ends abruptly. But he was the most solid, man, and I just appreciate everything he did in his legacy.
Like, can you remember the first time he asked you to interview you? Like, because I remember, I think it was like in 20.
Nah, but we had known each other for long before that. So, like, prior to doing the interview, we knew each other. I knew him back from when he was at something called PNC Radio before he even had the Combat Jack show. He was part of, like, he's just been around, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know Combat for years, so.
And then, like, how evolution, how pod, because like once I notice is like the evolution of podcasts, and like you see all these celebrities and other artists coming in, but very few can last. That's why I like to see, like, you do TV, and I think like Reggie would have been like, yo, can you imagine Reggie on Fuck That's Delicious?
Yo, it's something that honestly probably would have happened. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Do you have particular funny, because they say laughter is good for the soul, and when you want to remember someone, we want to remember for the good time. There's a ton of good memories with Combat out there, but someone who knew him on a personal level, do you have a particular funny story that stands out with you when you think about him?
Nah, and to be honest, that's the thing. Like, it was just always a enjoyable experience. I always learned something. We always laughed about something. It was always, there wasn't one particular thing. That was like the relationship in general, was just like, yo, we enjoying life, and I'm learning at the same time. Like, I don't look up to a lot of people, or I don't call a lot of people big bro, but he's someone who I just always respected, just everything about him. And yeah, you know, it's not one memory, but just the general relationship, the general like rapport that we had was just, it was golden, you know? He's a solid dude, man. That's the legend going too soon.
Even like with the cars I'll be seeing you in now too, I'm like, damn, you're Lorraine out here shining now too. Like, did you ever think, like, you know, because I heard in one of your interviews that, you know, growing up with, like, you got to listen to Cypress, Reggie and all them, but like, did you ever get to think like you get to work with them and get to see your friends become legends in the game? Because I know a lot of people ask you about your friends, but you're also a part of this legends in this register instead of making a come up. Like, it's been like 10 years and you guys are considered legends. Did you ever think any of this would happen?
Nah, man. Or to be honest, all I really wanted to do, I was just a fan turned rapper. I just wanted to make a mixtape. I just wanted to get some props. I wanted people to tell me they enjoyed my offerings, they felt my music, and anything else is just a plus. So, like I said, I'm just soaking it up, and I'm just kind of rolling with it, and I'm trying to keep the flame lit. That's it.
Man, you're definitely doing a great job. I got two more questions for you, sir, and I'll let you go because I understand you're a very busy man and you got a lot of work to do, man. I see you taking pictures of Mad Lib and Dave Chappelle now. Wow. The level up is crazy.
I mean, yeah, I met Chappelle through Mad Lib, you know what I mean? Him and Mad Lib are close. Me and Mad Lib have been working on an album for a while. We actually got a ton of music in the stash. We probably got around two albums worth of material done, and yeah. You know, that's up there. Mad Lib is another just solid, high quality human, man. Just another legend I befriended in my travels. You know what I mean? It's just,
and also
the pieces are falling, you know, the way they're supposed to.
See, I like how like there's a genuine friendship when you actually, because you get to meet the person, right? Like, it's different when it's over email and stuff, but when you get to vibe with the person and laugh with them, it makes the music so much more
timeless. Yeah. I'm gonna make it clear, like, anyone that I've done a full album with, like there's producers who I've worked with, but that, you know, in passing we did things, and I'm cool with everyone that I work with, but like anyone I've done an album with, we're genuinely friends. Like, and I don't throw the word friend around loosely, like,
oh, of course,
Fraud, Buck, Muggs, you know what I'm saying, Derringer, Madlib, like, I've become friends with these people. Like, yo, me and Derringer, it's crazy. When people ask about, like, the album process and what we do, like, yo, me and Derringer just talk and laugh more than we even make music. Like, we just pop shit, talk about sneakers, talk about food, and just, you know, chill. And then we do some songs in between. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it's about. Same thing with Muggs. I go to Muggs, man. We might kick it for a month, just run around, eat good food, travel, go to some events, and then do a couple songs in between. Like, that's how fire gets made. Like, what people don't understand is, that's part of the album process. It's not that you're slacking. It's not that you're bullshitting. But now when you live in life, that adds so much. That's the shit that you can't buy. You know what I'm saying? That's like, that gives albums and projects the feel that you can't get through email.
That's very true, because you can tell when something's kind of done over the email because it's not so cohesive at the time. But you can just tell when someone has a genuine.
I mean, don't get it twisted. You can make heat through the email. You can make something.
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah,
it's just a little more personal. It's like when people know your character, they even know like what kind of beats to give you. Like,
you know,
when you get to know each other, it's just, it helps. You know, it's not always possible. And again, business is business, and sometimes, you know, I got to work with people and they're busy, I'm busy. We don't get to connect like that and we still make a hot joint. But I'm just fortunate enough that anyone I've done full projects with have become friends and family, you know?
And like, even with like, I know a lot of people may hit you up now too, but did you see this renaissance? Like, did you think vinyl would come back the way it did?
I didn't see it, but I'm not surprised. Like, I could understand why it did, you know?
Because they say everything makes a comeback once you're on. Like, I remember seeing, like a bunch of early 2000s clothes making a comeback. I just hope the long tees don't come back. Yeah, I will forever miss that out. I don't miss that out.
They already came back, just in a different way. There's a lot of, like, oversized, high-end fashion with long things that are almost like tall tees. Like, it already came back, just differently, you know?
I guess you got a point that's more stylish. So, before I let you go now, too, I noticed, like, you don't cater to the radio, and I don't think that at this point you ever will now, too. But you know how when Freddie Gibbs did his album with Madlib, do you ever have like a certain thought, like, what if this album puts me to a level like that? Did you ever like think like that, or like, I'm just gonna do it and see what happens?
Nah, because you know what, man, I don't cater to the radio necessarily, but that doesn't mean there's not radio songs that I like. It doesn't mean that I haven't made songs that the radio could have played or might play. You know what I'm saying? So that being said, is I do what I like, but some of the things that I do like are radio records. Like, again, I have songs in my career that I feel could have been radio songs. They just weren't. I have other songs that aren't yet that might be. So I'm not doing them for the radio, but I do understand that, hey, the radio might like this, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, I just make what I want to hear first, because I always look at it like this, right? At the end of the day, no matter what you sell, no matter what you make, if you have a product that you enjoy personally and you didn't compromise on, it's not a loss. Like no matter what it does, number-wise, financially, if you made something that you enjoy, it's not a loss. Like, you did good regardless, so I just try to always make things that I like. And if the radio or the rest of the world likes it, I mean, shit, God bless. You know, that's what we're going for. But I'm not chasing anything, man. It's a point where, you know, I've built something. And it's like, once you build something, you can't really break it down even if you wanted to. So I just cater to myself, cater to my direct audience. And if things get bigger, they get bigger, you know, which they have. So.
Oh yeah, and trust me, it's been a long run, but trust me, it seems like you level up every album. It's just like, can you get any bigger?
We'll find out, you know?
Hey man, I wouldn't be surprised, man, if I start seeing these white chicks on the radio playing, you know, you hear the new Mayhem around, it's like, really? All right, yo, short here. Play some Silk Humans, get some Black Vladimir, and then we'll come back and talk, shorty. But you enjoy the battle.
Thing about music that's beautiful is like you'll hear that now. Like, I love it when I do a show. It's like literally like you see every type of human being in that audience, and it's just like literally colors, creeds, nationalities, religions, ages. Like, you know, there's people half my age that love me. There's people 20 years older that do. It's like that's the most beautiful thing about music, that you could just appeal to everyone, and you can't control that. Like, one thing you can't control, you can control what you make, you control how your sound is, you cannot control your fan base. And you shouldn't try to either. Just put it out to the world and let whoever embraces it, let them embrace it and show them love back. You know what I mean? That's what I've done.
I like what you said. That's a whole... I'm going to cut that for the intro right there, because right there, that's a whole gem right there. You shouldn't try to, because you never know who may gravitate to you.
Yeah, you don't know. And again, it's all like, if it's love, it's love. You know what I mean?
That's very true. So, Mr. Mayhem Loren, man, you're a very busy man. I appreciate this from the bottom of my heart, because like I said, I waited for this. I know we're structured on time, though, but I got one more thing. This is, I want to know about you. What type of music you listen to outside of rap? Like, I want to, like, were you going to kind of come up here and say you listen to Megadeth? I'm like, Jesus, you listen to Megadeth?
No, I'm going to keep it real. Like, you know, a lot of people like to talk about, I guess, flex how eclectic they are and talk about everything else they listen to. I really just listen to rap, dog.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna keep it real. Like, if I'm in different company, I might hear different things. Like, I have friends that like rock, alternative. I'm cool with people in hardcore bands. I have people who love jazz. So when I'm around things, I like things when I hear them. But if I'm controlling the radio, dog, we playing Hell on Earth on repeat. We playing the
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We playing Wu-Tang Forever. We playing Gangsta. We playing G-Rap, Nas, AZ, Cypress Hill. Like that's just what I do, man. It's just part of my DNA. And I feel that really what you listen to affects your output. Like, listening to good music is like taking vitamins. You know what I mean? Like, When I'm listening to these things and absorbing them repeatedly, time and time again, I think that makes me a better rapper. So, you know, that's that. I'm sorry I didn't have a great answer.
That's a perfect answer right there, because, like, you could have instantly just like, oh, yeah, I like Megadeth. But, like, I like what you said now, too, because, like, you also can get inspired from your friends that you grew up on, and that's what I like.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Like I said, I do. I like all kind of things, but my go-to is just, you know, you already know, man.
I don't have to drop a gem on him right there. Let's drop that right there.
Yeah. But nah, man. Thank you. And for real, I appreciate it.
Anytime, Mr. Loren. Is there anything you would like to leave the people with before we let you go? Your Black Vladimir's in stores. I put all the links to where they can cop your merch.
Basically, you can cop everything and learn anything to do with me on mayhemloren.com. MeyhemLoren.com. The vinyls, I think they're actually going to go live today. We got vinyls.
Oh, perfect, because it's interesting what you drop tomorrow, so perfect.
Yeah, oh, that's what's up. So, yeah, man, mayhemloren.com for all your Mayhem Loren needs, questions, and etc. You know,
and if y'all too lazy to be listening, but you're watching the screen, it's on the screen for y'all right there too. So, Mr. Loren, is there any wise words that you'd like to leave us with today?
Yeah, man, stay safe. Don't drink and drive.
And if that being said, y'all make sure y'all go have an exquisite meal and go play some Black Vladimir in the background, man. It's like a banquet album right there.
No doubt, man.
Anyway, Mr. Loren, you stay safe out there, and we wish you much more success. And, you know, we can't wait to see you get bigger and bigger. Pause.
Yeah, no doubt. Have a good one.
You too. Peace. One.